Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Evan Roberts, Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I come to you with good news. The weekend from hell is over, and it's a brand new week, and things can't quite possibly get worse, couldn't they? We'll try to figure that out over the next few hours, but welcome into another brand new edition of Evan and Tiki. We're here for the next 4.5 hours. We will discuss how the New York Jets are causing their fans to hate football. We will discuss the incredible tease the Giants put together on Sunday afternoon. But we stand here today with the Yankees on the brink of elimination after losing 2 straight to the Blue Jays, in which somehow they gave up a combined 23 runs. And as unfair as life is, I think the reality is this. And again, the Yankees have given up 23 runs. This series is being defined by Aaron Judge. And it doesn't feel fair. It doesn't seem fair. But I really think that's the case, because even though Aaron Judge in this postseason is 8 for 18, which is a .444 batting average, I think that his strikeout on ball 4 in the 6th inning of game 1, and this isn't always fair what I'm saying, is the definition and the image of this series.
Yeah.
And well, even though they're pitching at a horrible level, Teak, I really think the Judge critiques are coming strong, and rightfully so.
Look, they are, but I think yesterday's blowout loss is going to shift in some people's minds the issues. Obviously, the Yankees need to score runs, but if Judge was hitting .500 and had 3 home runs, and they were all solo home runs or whatever, 2-run home runs, they're still not winning these games because the pitching hasn't been good at all. Now, yesterday was more of batting practice once Will Warren started coming in and giving up. How many home runs did he give up?
He gave up 4 home runs.
4 home runs. Yeah. But I mean, so in a sense, you're right, because Aaron Judge hasn't stamped himself into this series yet. Obviously, his batting average in the postseason is okay.
That's .444. It's right. Awesome.
I know, but it doesn't feel okay. It doesn't feel impactful.
No, it's not.
It feels .444 for .444's sake.
Yeah, this is the first time, and I've watched Aaron Judge like we all have since his rookie season and since his first foray into the postseason in 2017, and I've never felt what I'm about to say. It's the first time I've come to this conclusion about Judge. Mm. It really does feel like the moment is getting too big for him. And I never thought that. I always thought, like I always said about Barry Bonds back in the day, you know what? You give a great player enough time, they're going to show you they're great. And here's why I feel that way about Judge. Like you mentioned, he's 8 for 18. He's hitting. Mm-hmm. But it feels like the biggest of moments, which he has found a few times, that's when he's coming up small. Even the defensive miscue that he made that could have been a big deal that turned out not to be a big deal because Ernie Clement cleared the fence, 2 pitches later. Like, it feels as if Aaron Judge is shrinking in the biggest of moments, and every other time he ran into struggles, I would always be on the side of, it's baseball. Sometimes you slump at the wrong time. You could be worn down from a long year. Like, I was with everyone or some on the excuse making. This is the first time watching him, even in the series against Boston, but especially what we saw in that bases loaded at bat in game 1 and even the error in game 2, where it feels like the moment's too big for him, and I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm being honest and trying to describe what's going on right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel that. I feel like it's just a continuation of what the narrative is around him in the postseason, and that is that he doesn't hit. I don't think it's the moment, because I think Aaron Judge is the type of player who takes what's given to him, and you know, sometimes he'll chase things like the high strike that he chased yesterday and also in game one. Those things feel like he's desperately trying to make an impact when you're, I don't want to say he's better off taking a walk because he's not, because nobody else is hitting either. And so I don't think it's the moment's too big for him. I think it's more the circumstances of wanting to be the man, put him in positions to do things that he doesn't normally do in the regular season.
But what he does in the regular season is drive runs in. What he does in the regular season is get extra base hits. He's only had one extra base hit in this postseason run. And it's weird because, again, the numbers are the numbers. He's 8-for-18.
Mm-hmm.
But when the big moment has found him, and this game, one thing, like sometimes in a postseason series, you don't lose a game because of one moment or one play. Like, I think back to the last time the New York, or not the last time, but two times ago, where the Yankees were swept in a postseason series, which is rare.
Right.
If you look at the history of the New York Yankees, they don't get swept very often. Obviously, 2022 in the ALCS against Houston, but before that, a decade earlier, they got swept by the Detroit Tigers in the ALCS. And if I ask any Yankee fan, what do you remember about that ALCS, there's only one thing they remember, and it was Jeter getting hurt. That's it. And if you ask anyone, why did the Yankees get swept in that series? Well, Jeter got hurt. And you forget game two, and you forget game three, and you forget game four, and you forget even how they lost game one, which actually was an extra innings. You forget all about that. And I have a feeling that unless the Yankees wake up tomorrow night, the only memory people are going to have about this division series is bases loaded, nobody out, and Judge is swinging at ball four against the guy he normally owns in Kevin Gausman. He beats Kevin Gausman. He's got great career numbers against this guy. And 3-2, a pitch that was well off the plate he hacked at, and it feels like that image, that moment, fair or not, is going to define this series and unfortunately help define a guy who's becoming an all-time great.
Yeah, I hear you. I know what you're saying. But I also feel like that's a little haterish. That's a little...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because...
I'm speaking for most Yankee fans.
You know what I think about from yesterday is, God, Mac Fried let us down in a massive moment.
He did.
In a humongous on the road, you got to stabilize this after game one loss. Max Fried, where the hell are you at? That's more of the takeaway for me. And then it just turned into destruction. The Vlad Guerrero Jr. home run might have been the most violent swing I've seen all postseason.
Yeah, it was crushed.
It was crushed. Now, I was shocked when they said 415 because the way that he swung and hit that ball, I thought it was like 470. So I feel it was more pitching. In game two. And game two was more, to me, devastating than game one because it was, it had no shot.
Well, game two was the game where you had the pitching edge.
Yes.
You got your ace and you're facing a kid in Treya Savage who had only made four major league starts.
Right,
and
who, so by the way, might be pretty good, though.
I mean, not too bad. He is a big prospect, but that's the thing. Like, we don't know what you're going to get from October baseball.
Yes.
I mean, we saw it on the other end with Cam Schlittler, who had only made 14, 15 major league starts.
Yeah, but at least he had 15 starts. This kid had four.
No, I get you. I mean, it was...
And he had 11 strikeouts in 5 1/3 innings.
But that's why, like, if we're being fair, because I do think a lot of the Judge stuff is going to be unfair, even if it's true. The definition of these first two games is the Yankees have been bad at everything.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're being fair about it, like, their starting pitching hasn't been good. Their bullpen wasn't good, especially when Aaron Boone made the decision to pull Luis Gil as early as he did in game one.
Yep.
So obviously, when you give up 23 runs in two games, that's bad. That's a record. That's the most runs ever given up in two straight postseason games to start a series. I think in two straight postseason games, period.
Right.
So obviously that's bad. And up until they scored the 7 runs in 2 innings in the 6th and 7th inning of game two, when they were already down by a crazy number, 12-0 at the time, their offense has been bad.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously the Yankees have been bad at everything in these first two games for whatever reason. The Rogers Center is a house of horrors. So it's everything that's led to 0-2. But that image of game one, am I being irrational, Sean? That image of game one is rough.
I think a couple things are true here. That's a bad image that, you're right, will probably get remembered. But I also think we're bordering on obnoxious now when we're blaming Aaron Judge for why the Yankees are down 2-0 because of that one moment. Last year, he did not hit, and he had this narrative. And suddenly now we're going to pretend that singles, because they aren't home runs, aren't good enough. The guy is hitting .444, and through these first 5 games of a Yankee postseason, has been the steady offensive bat. He's not going to hit 1,000. He's not going to have the OPS of this. He's entitled to make an out. In that spot in the 6th inning, Bellinger follows it up with a walk.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate, and they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The team gets picked up. It's 2-1 at that point. You know, Ben Rice and Giancarlo Stanton are allowed to come through with big hits as well.
Right. That's what they're there for.
We've pounded the table for Ben Rice to play in the Stanton. Young player pops out, kills it. And Giancarlo Stanton, who everybody loves kissing the ass of because of all the big October hits he has, still stranded, the bases loaded with a strikeout as well. So you're right. All right, ball four, can't swing at it. But in this postseason, I mean, you damned if you do, damned if you don't have Aaron Judge. Now you're hitting in the postseason, but every time you make an out, it gets magnified, and we're saying he's too big for the moment. I think that's nonsense.
Outs happen. They do. And especially, it wasn't just on him. It didn't end the inning. You know what I mean? And so I hear what you're talking about, and it's easy to say Aaron Judge should be the hero because Aaron Judge is the king. But Aaron Judge was not the reason they've lost these games. And as much as we want to blame the star, it's unfair in a team sport because nobody else is coming through either.
You're right, but I think if you go back to game one, obviously game two is very, very different, but in game one, in that situation, if he comes through with an extra base hit, if he clears the bases, that's a different game.
It is.
Like, nobody could tell me, well, they just lose the game 10-5.
But is
like, that's
worse?
Crap. That's not even true. I mean, it changes everything, and it did feel, watching this game, and I was watching this game with a Yankee fan, I was watching this game with my dad, who hates the Yankees. We all felt the same way after that Judge strikeout. Like, it felt as if it changed everything about where that game could have gone. And you're right that after Cody Bellinger draws a bases-loaded walk, Ben Rice had every right to hit one up the alley, and Giancarlo Stanton had every right to not strike out against Lewis Varland, who's, let's be honest, a very average relief pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But that moment did feel like the turn of that game and what could ultimately be the series.
Yes, and I get that. I'm not trying to put it down, but it's not as if Judge came in 1-for-15 in that spot scuffling. That's all I'm trying to say. He has done his part for the most part through five games, and as far as spraying some hits here or there. This was supposed to be a better lineup than the one that got them to a World Series a year ago as far as depth. And collectively through five games, they're just not getting the big hit at all, and we're putting it all on Aaron Judge's lap, and that's where I have a problem. And even despite not scoring, we're still going back to head-scratching decisions. I mean, how many more times are you going to go to Luke Weaver with the game on the line and 2-1? Like, there are a million reasons why they're down 0-2, and I just think it's terrible for a guy that actually has come through a base hit after base hit to put it all on him in that strikeout
moment. It's not all on him, and I don't want to ever want to minimize getting a base hit with two outs and nobody on, because that could lead to a rally or one out and nobody on. But it's the moment. It's the big moment. And you know that. And here's the proof that you're a hypocrite in this whole discussion. Tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium, game three, backs to the wall. If the Yankees have a big shot in the fourth inning with two on and two out, Shane Bieber versus Aaron Judge, and he strikes out in a big spot despite hitting over 400 in the postseason, you're going to be the first one to get out of your seat and boo his ass.
Perhaps. But I look at this weekend. When I wake up on a Monday morning right now as a Yankee fan and they're down 2-0, and I'm thinking about who I'm angry at.
Who are you angry at then? I mean, you can name every single guy on the roster if you want.
Max Fried.
100%. Yeah.
Because you know what? Despite everything that happened Saturday at 4 o'clock in the Rogers Center, Sky Dome, whatever the hell it's called now, the reason I went to bed on Saturday night going, you know what? You lost game one. You missed your chances was the Yankees were supposed to have a competitive advantage of putting their ace on the mound in a game two, knowing the team was already down one game to nothing, and he gave them nothing yesterday. Nothing. After we pounded the table, he should have stayed in the game in game one, and we all screamed and yelled about it. Max Fried, as a paid ace, I don't care how bad the offense is struggling, deflated that entire team basically from the second inning on yesterday.
Right.
And that's who I'm pissed off at today.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Boone made some decisions. You touched on one of them that annoyed Yankee fans over the weekend, going to Luke Weaver, who I think is ungoable to anymore.
I agree.
You can't pitch him anymore.
But at least we know why Paul Blackburn was on this postseason.
Yeah, to eat up innings.
Exactly.
To basically take a hit. Like, Luke Weaver came in the eighth inning of game two, and that one was like, all right, fine. I mean, the game is basically over. It's 13-7. If you want to try to get Luke Weaver to look good, sure. Mm-hmm. And Dalton Varsho hit one 375 feet, but he got an out of it. The other decision he's getting criticized for is going to Will Warren. I'm with it, and I'm against it. Here's the way I look at it, and I think I texted you guys at the time. Once Max Fried doesn't have it, and you're down 5-0, I'm not giving up on the game. That's not the right term.
Mm-hmm.
But I need somebody to eat a lot of innings because I can't use my entire bullpen and let the Blue Jays see my entire bullpen.
Right.
The only difference I would have had was I would have gone to Fernando Cruz to get out of the fourth inning, try to limit the damage at that point, because when Fried comes out, it's 5-0.
Yeah.
Like, it's not 8-0.
No.
It's 5-0. And unfortunately, Will Warren, who's not used to being a reliever coming in with guys on base, made things worse. He walked George Springer, and of course, he gave up the grand slam to Vlad. After that, yeah, I think Will Warren should have eaten as many innings as he could,
right,
because you want to save your bullpen. Mm-hmm. So my issue with Boone would have just been in that mess of a fourth inning.
Put a reliever in.
I go to a real reliever to just clean up the mess and try to keep it right there.
Don't undersell that. That's an enormous mismanagement. Will Warren is not a reliever, hasn't been a reliever, has had struggles on the road this year. Putting him in a non-clean inning to eat innings was a disgrace yesterday at 5-0. Disgrace. And we forget about it because he imploded anyway. He had to start an inning clean. And if he ended up imploding beyond that, that's whatever. He ruined that game yesterday by putting Will Warren in a spot with guys on.
Yeah, it went from 5-0 to 9-0.
Yeah, quickly.
Like literally.
Yeah. And it made it... It made it uncomebackable.
Uncomebackable.
Which is interesting considering what happened as the game went on.
And by the way, nobody should be surprised by that.
Right.
Because when you look at the Blue Jays and you say to yourself, all right, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
All right, they won 94 games. They won the American League East. What are they good at? What are they not good at? It's their lineup. It's maybe the top of the rotation if it was a little bit healthier. Their bullpen stinks.
Of course.
Their bullpen is not very good. As we saw, and we probably will see over the next couple of days. So even though Treya Savage looked amazing, you didn't know how long John Schneider would push him. I think he took him out early because of the fact they had a big lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was a 4-0 game, like the Schlittler game, I think Savage goes a little bit longer.
Because you need him to keep doing what you're savaging.
Absolutely.
Right? You need him, just like the Yankees needed Schlittler to keep Schlittlering. Right?
Yeah.
He had to do it. Otherwise, they might lose that series.
You know why Schneider took him out? I actually understood it, and I was kind of with it. He was saying, boy, these guys, they've never seen this before.
Mm.
They've never seen the arm angle, the velocity, the splitter. They're not familiar with this guy. So why give the lineup a third time to look at him? We have a big lead, because now you're thinking about games 3, 4, 5, really game 4 and 5. Let me get him out. All right, no traject machine or whatever the hell they call that is really going to teach them how good this kid is. No tape is really going to help you. It's experience. So let me get him out. And while doing so, it gave the Yankees a look at basically every bum in the Toronto Blue Jay bullpen.
100%. Who they're going to have to lean upon because they need a bullpen game.
Possibly need a bullpen game.
So we'll see.
Well, that's a part of why I think the Yankees still have a real shot in this series. I'll come back and explain to you why, despite the way the first two games went, I still think the Yankees have a real shot to win these next two and take this series. And we'll hear from the Yankee fan. Are you pissed at Aaron Judge? Or are you like, no, he's hitting 444. Calm the hell down. Or is that image of a strikeout in game one going to define him and this Yankee run? We'll get your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Joe B will join us at 4. Giant fans, we'll get to the tease from yesterday coming up in a few short minutes. Yankee playoff tickets in the 4 o'clock hour. Plenty of Giants and Jets talk. Joe B coming up at 4. And we'll get your calls in a minute, 888-808-1019. But it is time for the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night from yesterday's Game 2, Yankees Blue Jays.
Guerrero at the dish in a 2-1 count. He's looking to unload right here. 2-1. Pitch. He did. Deep drive, left field, grand slam.
That call actually perfectly explained the emotions of that moment.
No doubt.
Bases loaded, places loud. Vlad was already off to a tremendous start considering the home run he hit in the first inning of Game 1. 3 hits in Game 1. He already had 2 hits in Game 2. The count's 2-1. We're all kind of thinking the same thing, fearing the same thing if you're a Yankee fan. And then the Sims reaction was, yes, that's what everyone thought in that moment. That was the Corona Lime Time highlight of the night presented by Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. I will tell you why I believe the Yankees are going to come back in this series, at least get this thing to a fifth game, not necessarily win the fifth game. This Toronto bullpen is very hittable, very, very hittable. And if you go back to Game 1 when the Blue Jay bullpen did do a pretty good job, most of it from Brendan Little and Jeff Hoffman and even Sir Anthony Dominguez, it was done once the Blue Jays opened this game up. You know, I still trust the Yankee bats, especially at Yankee Stadium, against the likes of Varland and Dominguez and Hoffman and Little and Fluharty. Like, this is not a fierce bullpen. And I think once you get to it, the bats are going to explode. That's number one. Number two, I have great respect for Shane Bieber. He's only made 3 postseason starts in his career, 2 of them, coincidentally, against the Yankees. This is still a guy coming off Tommy John.
Yeah.
This is still a guy who's only made 7 or 8 starts coming off of Tommy John. I have a confidence, more than anything, Teak, in the Yankee offense breaking out, especially at Yankee Stadium. The question's going to be, what does Rodon do? What does Schlittler do if they get to a Game 4? The bullpen getting enough outs. But the area where I do have confidence, and maybe it's because of the runs they exploded for late in Game 2, the 7 runs they scored in the last 4 innings.
Yeah.
I think they're going to hit, and I think it is very premature from the Yankee fan to think they're done and from the Yankee hater to be dancing on their grave.
Well, I don't think the Yankee fan wants to think they're done. It's just the frustration of these first couple of games. They've been non-competitive, at least as the score has pertained to. And yeah, Shane Bieber's coming off Tommy John surgery, but it still doesn't mean he's not going to rise to the occasion because of the emotion that's around this Blue Jays team. I know that's an intangible thing because baseball doesn't feel like the emotion takes precedence. Like, think about football. It's an emotional game. It's a physical game. There's ways to get guys jacked up or ready in different ways than hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Whereas in baseball, it really is like it's being dialed in. And there's an attention to the details that matter. If you're a Yankee fan, despite everything that you just said, it just feels like the attention to the details aren't there for this Yankee team. So it's hard to be optimistic. So you're right. What your optimism is correct. I think it's just hard for the Yankee fan to see it.
And mine is, and I wouldn't even define it as optimism. It's just being honest about what I still think this team is capable of doing and who they're facing. I'm just being honest. Now, it's a baseball game. Crazy crap happens. Like, I don't think any of us expected that Treya Savage was going to take a no-hitter into the sixth inning and strike out 11 guys.
No.
I did the moment I saw his mom pounding tall boys in the crowd.
I gave it away.
Oh, he was raised right.
Yeah. I looked at her. I'm like, that's a mom.
That's a man from a farm in Pennsylvania. That's his origins. But who saw that coming other than Sean? Who saw Schlittler dominating the way he did in Game 3? So baseball is a weird, weird game. But I don't believe this Yankee offense, the best offense in baseball throughout the regular season, is just going to get shut down, especially by a lot of the mediocre pitching that the Toronto Blue Jays have. But like I said at the top, the moment's going to find Aaron Judge, and he's got to put his mark on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the best way to define Judge's postseason, because to say it's crappy is not fair. Like, if you're 8-for-18 and you're hitting .444, you're obviously
it's not
producing.
Crappy. It's just non-impactful.
And that's the key. It's non-impactful, and he hasn't let his stamp be felt in this postseason. It just hasn't happened yet.
No.
And sometimes you need that moment to find you. He had it in Game 1. It was right there.
Right.
The whole game was going to flip. I thought it was going to flip. I think most of us probably thought it was going to flip. And yes, his teammates didn't back him up with Ben Rice and Giancarlo Stanton not coming through either. But when it's bases loaded, nobody out, early in a series in which if you win Game 1 and you got Max Fried on the mound against a rookie in Game 2, imagine the confidence level and how everything could change. That's why I don't buy this crap. Well, they were going to lose 10-5 anyway. You don't know that. Everything could have played out differently. And unfortunately, and as that pitch was thrown by Gausman, we all knew it was ball four.
It was a ball out of his hands.
Did you not scream at the TV, ball four?
Oh, immediately. You knew it was a ball out of his hands. But again, this is just the microcosm of being who Aaron Judge is. We're just going to solely focus on that bat. And as much as it enrages us, it's just they had other opportunities to get runs.
He's entitled to a bad at bat.
Exactly.
In a series.
Especially in this postseason.
But the reason why none of those answers work is because of the resume over the last 6 years.
Okay.
This is not his first postseason. If it was, I'd be with you. I'd say, you're right. Yeah, whatever. It's baseball. Sometimes you don't come through. I get that. It's just that this has been going on for a while. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Toll-free number. Let's kick it off with Artie in Rockland. Good afternoon, Artie.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Listen, I want to tell you something. This guy, Jason Dominguez, who came up as a five-tool potential superstar, has been on the roster now postseason twice, this year and last year. And he's a natural center fielder. Grisham's batting 150 with eight strikeouts. It's 12-0. 12-0 yesterday. Mm. You can't give the kid an at-bat. You can't put him in the outfield for a few innings. It's 12-0. Are you serious? Why can't they let him bat one time?
So and if you do that, I want to ask you, if you do that, are you doing that as a gateway to eventually him starting game three? Is that what you're thinking?
I got news for you. If it was up to me, I would sit Grisham for the entire rest of the postseason and let this kid get his feet.
Here's the problem.
I mean, it might happen because Aaron Boone, when asked about it today, he said, look, he's considering lineup changes.
Here's the problem with that lineup change. Whether Boone does it or not, I'm going to give you my honest opinion.
Yeah.
The guy started four games since September started. He has had 20 plate appearances since September started.
Yeah.
They've buried him. If all of a sudden now on October 6th, when the guy has had no role as a starter.
It's unfair to him. No, you're right.
Of course it is. What do you think's going to happen, Magic?
I do think, though, if you want to be real to his point, is Jason Dominguez a building block for the future of this team? Because if he is, in those spots, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to give him two at-bats in a playoff game just to kind of feel the end.
That's a different story, and that's why my question to Artie was, what's your plan with this?
Right.
Is it, hey, it's a blowout, let me get him experience because it's a gateway to game three? If it's a gateway to game three, I will say this respectfully, it's a panic idea. The guy's had 20 plate appearances in over a month, and the Mets were forced into that, remember, with Ronnie Mauricio?
Right.
And I think one of the reactions was, boy, well, you don't play a guy for a month. What the hell do you expect? This is the same thing except worse because you'd be doing it on your own. You'd be making the decision. And I get it. Trent Grisham hasn't been him. He hasn't been the guy.
He's become Sam Darnold with the Vikings. Had this great career year out of nowhere. You got to the end of the year, and now he's just turned back into a pumpkin.
I get it, but do you want to sit him for a guy who's had 20 plate appearances in a month?
No, but you know what? It's more of an offseason, bigger picture thing. What the Yankees did with Jason Dominguez this year, and look, Grisham earned the right to play, is going to ultimately, if he ends up being ruined and not what we thought, we're going to look back and realize what a disgrace they were to Dominguez this year.
Yeah, but it's hard to do that.
Now, you can't.
You can't, because when you look at it in real, when you remember it in real time, meaning in during the regular season, Trent Grisham was fantastic.
I agree.
He had a breakout year, so to speak, especially offensively. Defensively, he's always been good. We know that. But offensively, he was a marvel. So you can't second guess it.
You can't. I agree.
His postseason has sucked, but you can't second guess what he did in the regular season. That would be unfair to Trent Grisham.
And he doesn't have a postseason track record of shrinking. He actually had an incredible run in 2022 at San Diego.
Yeah.
So it's not as if, the moment's too big for Trent Grisham. It's just replacing him with a guy that's barely played in a month. Definition of a panic move.
That would be desperate.
Yeah. Julio is calling from Queens. What's up, Julio?
Hey, Julio.
Hey, guys. You're a big fan. I just want to say about Judge, I'm not really disappointed in him, or a little bit disappointed in him, because I know in years past we always said that he doesn't hit in postseason. But honestly, we're not asking him to hit. We're asking him to be Aaron Judge, hitting home runs, hitting RBIs, extra base hits. But my biggest problem right now is not really Aaron Judge, more with Giancarlo, Trent, and Ben Reiser kind of have been kind of quiet. My biggest problem is here with the batting coach is like our team can't stay off. They just swing in and miss.
Well, right. When I mentioned this to Tiki yesterday, we were talking a little bit about this game. Their approach against Kevin Gausman on Saturday was really surprising, and that was to hack early. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the amount of guys, and I could actually tell you the answer as I scored it, but think about the amount of guys that swung at the first pitch.
Yeah.
It was a complete strategy shift against Kevin Gausman, a guy who a bunch of Yankees have had success against, including Aaron Judge. And so they were hacking early. very early against him. Against Treya Savage, who obviously they don't have experience with. It's all new. He's got a very different windup. How many fastballs right down the middle did they take for strike one? Which only set up his devastating splitter for them to be chasing after, which was constant, whether it was Cody Bellinger, it was Ben Rice. I mean, they were swinging through splitters in the dirt constantly. Yeah. Like, their chase was off the charts, but it was all set up, Teague, because they took the exact opposite approach in game two, in which they were taking pitch one constantly.
Which doesn't make any sense, because what worked in the wild card series was exactly what they did in game one of this series. Swing it, first pitch. Right? Didn't we talk about this with Ben Rice with his home run in the first inning when he finally got off the bench? He smashed it first pitch, right? And so I think it's a we don't know enough about this kid to know what he's going to do. He's probably scared of you, so he's going to throw the first one in the dirt. So don't swing at it.
Yeah.
When in fact you should have seen from just his swagger that he wasn't scared of anything.
Oh, no, he was...
Game in his game as well.
Hold on, we're going to instant replay.
Yes.
They are saying the ruling on the field stands. He did not say the wrong word. It just may have sounded that way. All right, continue on.
It's all good.
That was it?
Unless you're on hold, you didn't hear it.
You dumped it?
Evan, just a friendly reminder.
No.
We can't have curses on the radio. I know it's funny. I know you think it's hilarious.
No.
But we can't tell the FCC, well, Evan thinks it makes for a better radio show if we curse.
Now, let me tell you why. Cam Schlittler is a human being.
Yes, he is.
If someone makes a mistake, like Tiki almost made, but Tommy was too handsy on the dump button for anyone to hear, that's a part of the game.
It's not a part of the game. We play different games, you and I. See this glass that's in between us? There's a game in there, and
Tommy,
there's a game
back
here.
We're politically neutral. They're not going to come after us.
Well, I appreciate you being on my side, Tiki. I just don't know where Evan thinks we can curse on the air.
Evan, it's not Humphrey and Humphrey, okay? You can't just because it's close to his name get away with a
curse. What if I put a poll out that asks, should we dump anyone who mistakenly calls Cam Schlittler by an incorrect name? I think it's going to be 80-20. Let it go.
Oh, you mean audience wants to hear curses? No kidding.
It wasn't a curse. Tiki was saying Cam Schlittler's name.
Yes.
And he may have forgotten the L.
No, I didn't. I just said it late.
It just came out late. Anyhow, if you heard it through, I guess, the Free Odyssey app, you'd agree with me. There was no curse. He was just trying to say his name, and it came out very slippery. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to Aaron in Manhattan. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you, man.
What's up, man?
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm calling to defend Judge. I think the Yanks have a lot to worry about, like Boone getting outmanaged, the bullpen, Cam coming back to earth. Judge is just fine.
Yeah, I mean,
Judge, is that you? It's Aaron in Manhattan. Aaron, I think it was Aaron Judge calling in to defend himself.
Yeah, he's calling out his skip, Aaron Boone, being outmanaged. I don't think Aaron Boone's being outmanaged. I think his players aren't playing.
Look, I'm going to try to say this in a way where the Judge fan club doesn't get offended, okay? He is a great player. He's an all-time great player. And while it's very challenging to ever rip someone who's 8-for-18, because that is good, the big moments when they find him, he has come up small in. Mm. And even the biggest moment he's had in the postseason, which was the RBI single, should have been caught by the left fielder Durant.
Right.
Like, he just hasn't had that moment. And if the Yankees are going to win this series, because now they need to win 3 in a row, they're going to need him to find that moment. Now, sometimes in baseball, you can win without your best player being great. It happens a lot. It's very different than the NBA and even the NFL, where most of the time you need your quarterback to be pretty good. In baseball, you can kind of hide it. If the Yankees are going to come back, the 2-for-5 with 2 singles with nobody on base, mm-hmm. but a huge strikeout with the bases loaded and nobody out,
yeah.
it's got to stop. And it's not a knock on the man's career. He is a great player. But there's no denying the big moment. He hasn't achieved it yet. And they need him to. They do. And you know it. When you're sitting there tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium, there's going to be a moment that finds him.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it's going to be early, late, in the middle, wherever. And he's going to have to answer the call if they're going to come back and win this series. That's the bottom line. We'll come back with more of your calls at 888-808-1019. And we'll get into detail on what the Giants did to their fans on Sunday. Because what they did to their fans and what they did to me as an IFO. So yesterday, the Blue Jays are up in this game by a score of 12-0. And Treya Savage is pitching a no-hitter because of a very kind official scorer. If this was the Yankees, if it was the opposite, if it was Cam Schlittler pitching a no-hitter into the sixth inning of a playoff game mm-hmm. with a pitch count of 78 up 12-0, and Aaron Boone came out and said, "All right, that's it. You got the first out of the sixth inning. Good ball game, son. We're taking you out." How would Yankee fans have reacted?
They would have said, "Good job. We need you bet later in the postseason."
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
Sean, would you have thought that and your fellow Yankee fans?
No, there would have been a word we can't say on the air. "Are you bleeping kidding me?" would have been my reaction. Can we let the guy become Don Larson, please?
Okay. "Are you Schlittlering me?"
Yeah. Yes.
I'm with Tiki in that's how I would have reacted, yeah, but I understand the emotions of it.
Yeah.
Because you want to see a no-hitter. And obviously, as soon as Yes Savage came out, it took 2 batters before Justin Bruhl gave up a base hit and the no-hitter was over. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Our buddy John in Massbeth. How we feeling, Johnny?
What up, John?
What up? First off, when you're on a hold, you're immune to that dump button. And Tiki, you did say it.
Come on, man.
I told my friend, listen, I'm in a car, my friend. And I told her before you guys even mentioned it, I go, "Whoa, he said it.
All he said right was you guys Kim Schlittler, the pitcher for the Yankees.
But listen, though, I'm here to tell you guys that Positive Johnny is here to tell all Yankee fans not to make plans for late October, even on Halloween.
Oh.
I believe in the power of positivity. Carlos Rodon will go out there and shove. The bats will demolish this bullpen in Game 4, and our ace will be out there and will not mess up another start.
Look at that. Now, that's Positive Johnny. Mm. Did that make you believe, Sean?
It made me feel worse. Once his fingerprints are all over it, I feel worse.
Let's go to Steve in Montville. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. As you may remember, I am a Mets fan, and I don't have my dancing shoes on yet, but I went to the top of the closet, took the shoes down, gave them a nice polish job. And also, I think King Judge needs a new nickname. I think Judge Punch and Judy. would be the best one for him. But I'm open to him.
Oh, come on.
Punch and Judy.
Oh, this is taking a cheap shot.
I mean, the reality is, in this postseason, that's what he's been.
Of course.
Now, why does he care? Bloops.
We know he's capable of a lot more, and I think that's why there's criticism when the big spot finds him and he swings and misses at ball four. But you go back to game two, he did have two base hits, an infield hit, and a little blooper.
What are you even acknowledging his point for?
Because he was a caller to WFAN.
No, he was a caller that admit, oh, you might know I'm a Met fan. I went and got my dancing shoes on. Right off the bat, that's it. We don't need to hear from you,
Sean,
Met fans.
We acknowledge you when you talk about the Jets and the Mets. Why would we not acknowledge him?
He's a sports fan. He's allowed to hate. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Well, how about Sean cleans his ears out? Because if you heard me screen that guy, I said, this is not the day to dance. So please don't do that. Now he blew through the stop sign. So I, as a Met fan, implored him not to do that. So he did it anyway. Exactly. So don't paint us with a broad stroke. That was just one guy.
I'm not painting you for a broad stroke. It's the pits of hell today. And the last thing anybody wants to hear from is a Met fan when you've been home for a week and a half. Get lost.
Mm. You see Juan Soto's in Cancun? He even Instagrammed about it.
Wow.
It's almost like he's
trying not to care.
He's playing into the joke, because that's the joke around sports. When you get knocked out, you're going to Cancun. Joe is in Point Pleasant. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you? I just want to make three quick points, if I can. Evan, I don't know what you mean about we have to save the bullpen. We got two more games to play with Warren. He should have been out of there after the second home run. Second point is real Yankee fans are going to support Judge. The guy's carried us on his back. He's going to be the second best Yankee when all is said and done after Babe Ruth.
Well, a couple of things. Mm-hmm. Being the second best Yankee of all time is almost impossible. And that's not a knock on Aaron Judge, but when Mickey Mantle and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio exist, getting to that mountain is going to be really, really tough. And I would tell you it's impossible to do it without championships.
Right, I was going to say, especially because those guys have rings.
The second point is about the bullpen. So here's what I think is really, really important. And this is an opinion I've kind of formed over the last 6 or 7 years watching playoff baseball. In these short series and long series, the best of sevens and the best of fives, the more you show your opponent the same arms, the more of an advantage those bats will get. So I'll give you the other perspective real quick, the Yankee perspective, the positive perspective. You got to see Varland, Dominguez, Little, and Hoffman in game one. You got to see everyone else in game two. I believe that helps you. I believe the more you see the same guys, it helps you. So let's get back to game two. It was twofold in why I thought Will Warren needed to eat a lot of innings. Number one, yes, so your bullpen isn't tired going into game three. But more importantly than that, even though a lot of these bats have seen these guys throughout the regular season, don't get me wrong, the more often they see him, I really believe the advantage goes to the hitters.
Right.
And I think that there's a good chance this is the first and last time we'll see from Will Warren in this series. So, yeah, you want to win the game. I'm not punting it. But I do think there's a value in not showing them Camilo Duvall.
I think you're right. Even if we don't trust that Camilo Duvall is going to be great whenever his moment comes. But, you know, it's interesting. You brought up what you would have done. I don't know if you told us this and we had this in the pre-show meeting or you said it on air. But if he had allowed or not brought in Will Warren with traffic, if he had just let him have a clean inning, and let's just say Fernando Cruz gets out of that inning, think about the game now. It's a different game.
Assuming Cruz limits the damage in that fourth inning, it is a different game.
Right.
Absolutely. The problem is, two on, nobody out, there's certainly no guarantee Victor Fernando Cruz is limiting the damage.
No, but he kind of just did it, though, a couple of games ago, right?
Yeah, he got lucky, but yes, he did do it.
Of course he got lucky, but he did it.
Yeah,
he was screaming, and he was jacked up, and he was pumping his chest. It was awesome.
I agree. 5-0 game, fourth inning, is very different than a game that becomes 11-0.
Yes.
It changes even the pressure that Trey Savage is going to face.
Right, 11-0, game's over.
It, even though the Yankees did everything they could to make it interesting, I give them a lot of credit. They got it to 13-7, and you're like, wait a second. You know, when Jazz came up at 13-7, my thought was, boy, if he hits a home run and it's 13-9, we got ourselves a baseball game.
Right.
This would be the greatest comeback of all time. Yankee fans, we'll get back to you in a minute. 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.